I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
In LeBron's 17th season, he is averaging a triple-double through the first round of the playoffs. Lakers head coach Frank Vogel was asked if the league takes LeBron's ability for granted. Vogel responded with, quote, "I think the media and maybe the fans are taking it for granted, but we don't take it for granted in-house here. Our coaching staff, front office, and his teammates, we all really understand and appreciate how special his performances are and what he brings to the table." So, Shannon, do you agree that LeBron is taken for granted by the media and by the fans?
I don't know if it's so much by the fan. I think the biggest thing here, Skip, is that LeBron has played basically his entire career in a social media age. It would have been very interesting to see had some of the other greats, the Michael Jordans, the Magic Johnson, the Larry Birds, some of the other greats, Skip, because before the social media age, unless you were on television, unless you were on radio, you didn't have a platform to say he's good or he isn't. Now you got 2 billion Facebook followers, you feel, or people on Facebook. You got another 2 billion on IG and Twitter. And so everybody has a platform to say, and they can get things trending. You hashtag this, you know, this or that. And all of a sudden, you're like, well, you know what? You're right. But I think the thing is, Skip, people that understand and know the game of basketball, that follow it closely, realize that what we're watching, even for his greatness, is not normal, especially at his age, especially with the amount of minutes that he's played, the amount of games that he's played. You realize that what he's doing is not normal. Because last week he had a game where it was 30, 10, and 5. He shot 80% from the floor and from the three-point line. And then he averaged a triple in year 17. He's averaging a triple-double for the first round of the series. There's only been done twice. And he did it both times. So I think the thing is, Skip, you do start to take things for granted because of his greatness, and you just have a level of expectation. It's kind of like parents. You expect them, when you say, "I want some candy," to get it. "I want ice cream," to get it. That ain't always that how it was in Mary Porter house. But I'm saying, Skip, you know, there's a level of expectation that you have that you're going to get certain things. And I think the thing is, you take for granted because he's been doing it at this level for such a long time. You're talking about 16 straight years in which he's averaged 25 or more points. Let that sink in. He's never averaged less than 20 points in the season. And the fewest amount of assists he's had in the season is 5.9. Let that sink in. He's in year 17. So I think the thing is, Skip, fans can take this for granted because you're like, well, he do this all the time. But I don't think people that have followed the game and that's covered those guys and before, I think they understand what he's doing is unusual. Very unique. But I don't take it for granted because I know he's special.
So I'm not sure what your answer is. He is being taken for granted by most people? By
people in the social media age, I believe a lot of the fans take it for granted. You just hate. So you don't take it for granted. I just hate what you got. Me, I understand. I appreciate it. And I know what he's doing, especially at this age. I'm at any age. What I'm talking about at that age? 25, 10, and 8 is good at any age. 22, 25, 30. At 35 is unbelievable. You might not ever see it again. So you better watch it. Skip, like, that's what I did. I went outside in 1986 because Mr. Prentice Burkhalter, rest his soul, I was in the sixth grade. He say, "Haley's comet's coming." Skip, I remember looking up in the sky because I didn't know if I was going to be around another 77 and one-third year to see it come again. I watch him every time he come on TV because I don't know if I ever see that again.
And every night that LeBron James plays a basketball game, it's like the world sees Haley's or Halley's Comet once again. It's like it passes over every time he even plays Portland in a playoff game. I'm sorry, somebody has to tell some truth about this man.
I just told it.
He is all-time great, obviously. He does have some flaws that get swept under that little rug you have over there, such as free throw shooting. They're called free throws.
You gonna nitpick that?
Is that nitpick? That's a huge part of a man's repertoire and ultimately his legacy, and he is poor at that.
That's what Shaq, what did Shaq say? Shaq said, yeah, I'm a poor free throw shooter, but I make it when they count.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's talk about that, because this is the worst late game, clutch game free throw shooter in the history of stars in this league is LeBron James, and I appreciate you bringing that up. This man is nightly idolized, canonized, deified beyond comprehension by what Kevin Durant referred to as LeBron's quote-unquote media fanboys, and there are many of them out there. And I get it, because he is bread and butter for this league. It's like Tiger was when Tiger was really on top in golf. Mm-hmm. The golf media rooted for Tiger because he's actually making their jobs. He's keeping them afloat. He's the reason they get to go to the British Open every year, because everybody's interested. What's Tiger going to do in the British
Tiger
Open?
Tiger versus the field.
Okay, you got it. So in this case, I have had to sit and watch this man across from me wear goat masks during a first-round playoff series against a team called the Trailblazers, who often trailed in that series. And the Trailblazers wound up 37-43 in your goat-masking games that LeBron plays against that sorry team and its sorry defense.
But that was the same sorry team mm-hmm. that some of the all-time great players had picked to beat LeBron James. And you jumped on the bandwagon, and Jenny, if I'm not mistaken, you quoted me what they were saying. Mm-hmm. And some of the guys you said I have so much respect for.
What was my prediction? Sweep. It was a joke. It was a sweep, and it should have been a sweep, and you know it, and
no,
I know
no, 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 no.
Yes.
We need ratings.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, we got to let it say.
Oh, so you just gave them the first
game? Yeah, we got to give them a game. Make it interesting.
Okay.
Because, Skip, think about it. We've been off for a week now. Yeah. If we'd have swept them, we'd have been off for like 13 days.
Okay, I'll take that. I need LeBron back. I'm missing him. I agree with
exactly.
You. He's the most interesting man in the history of sports. There's always some subtext, some subplot. There's always drama around the drama king every night. I get
no
that.
Drama.
Drama. And yet, in game one of this series against Portland, he's got the basketball in his hands with a 6-point lead with 7 minutes to go against the sorry Trailblazers.
Oh, they're sorry now.
They're just sorry.
They're in the playoffs.
They came in 4 games under 500 to the bubble, and they exited 6 games under 500. It's not... You have to put it in, what's your favorite word? Context.
Yeah, it was context. And hot it, team. You, the hottest team. You told me that's the hottest team. Everybody say, oh, if they play, and even you said, if they play the Blazers with Dame and CJ, they get Nurkic back and Whiteside, oh, Melo. Now all of a sudden we blow the doors off them, and now they're terrible.
LeBron James' team got outscored 19-6 down the stretch of game one, and yet LeBron James... the GOAT, quote-unquote, says you, has the basketball in his hand, and he gets a wide-open 3-point shot to cut it to 2 points with 30 seconds left, and he LeBricks.
Skip, if you only can find, talk about a man in 17 years, and you only going to go back to the game and says, okay, well, he missed late-game free throw. Skip, everybody's missed a free throw. Larry Bird has missed a free throw. Michael Jordan has missed a free
throw.
Not
like this man has consistently, routinely missed late-game
free throw. I tell you what, also, they haven't consistently and routinely been in the finals like this man either. Mm. So since you're talking about consistently and routinely.
You're right. He cakewalked through the East. Now let's see if he can cakewalk through the West.
You see? Mm-hmm. What you did, you're talking about cakewalk. Yep. He does something, it's a cakewalk. He doesn't do anything. See, great failure.
It was cakewalking.
You got to get it. At some point in time, you're going to sit back. You're going to be in your rocking chair. You're probably moving back to Oklahoma. You and Ernestine, and you'll be drinking lemonade sitting in your rocking chair.
We're sticking right here. We will retire here, and it's not going to come anytime soon.
You'll be sitting there. You'll be sitting there, Ernestine. You know what? And you'll probably write a tell-all. Mm-hmm. Talk about, you know what? I should have gave this man his flowers while he was playing.
Really?
I didn't do that. Yeah, that's what you're going to do.
I don't see that coming. Maybe you know my future better than I do. So what happened in the game you just raved about? It was the closeout game 5.
Yeah.
You threw out all those numbers. He went mistrip dub.
Yeah, he did that. Did he do that?
The Trailblazers were down to eight bodies. They had eight men left on their bench. There was no Damian Lillard, and Whiteside had his pinky finger dislocated in game five. And you're goat masking it. You're raving about that. And do you realize with 6:52 left in the game, in the fourth quarter, the score was tied.
Yeah.
That's shameful.
And then guess what we do? We stepped on the gas.
You stepped on the gas.
See, that, see,
way to go.
See, that's the gear that we have.
Oh,
you know, now, because what you remember, at first, there were only three speeds. Then they went to four speed. Then they went to five speed. Mm-hmm. And now they got cars with six speeds, right? You got one with a six speed, right?
Seven.
So you got seven speeds now. So now you get it out. You can really step on the gas and just disappear from everybody.
I have never even put it in seventh gear. There's no need.
That's what home.
If I put it in seventh gear, I'm going to the moon.
That's
seriously.
LeBron. LeBron stepped on the gas and didn't even get out of third gear. Mm. So he got three more to go. And I got a sneaky suspicion that you're probably going to see those extra couple of gears.
Okay.
In the next round.
Good. I'll be watching. Show me.
No, you'll be hating.
I say what I see.
You'll be watching and hating because you know what? He'll average a triple-double against the Rockets, and you're going to say, the Rockets, their tallest man is much taller than I am. Okay, then he'll beat the Clippers. Well, the Clippers were, you know, half of them didn't want to be in there, and they were talking about leaving, and sweet lemon pepper Lou went. You're going to make all – I already know you, Skip.
I got Clippers over Lakers. I've had it all year, and I'm sticking by it, and I will not flip that script. I know is that in the end, I have to sit over here every day and hear, oh, he passed Michael Jordan in scoring. And the point is, give you this, he's Iron Man. There's never been anything like him. He had one little groin pull in 17 years.
And you wrote him off. And a lot of people wrote him off.
Okay, so he's now second overall in all-time minutes played. That's extraordinary. He's first in postseason minutes played. What do you think's going to happen? Just on duration, he's going to achieve records. They're longevity records.
No.
He's going to keep passing people just because he's playing more games.
No, but here's the thing about a collector. Okay, yeah, you can accumulate a lot, but what is it that you're accumulating? What is it worth? Look at Jerry Seinfeld. He likes Porsches. Mm-hmm. But he just ain't got no run-of-the-mill Porsches. He got them old things that go back $3-5 million.
Like 50 cars.
Exactly. Okay. So LeBron James, you talk about, he got the most minutes, but he got a lot of other things. The most 30-point games in playoff history. The most points in playoff history. Mm-hmm. He's number two in three-point field goals made in playoff history.
Longevity. Longevity.
Hold on. So LeBron James has played the most games. Mm-hmm. He's played the most seasons in NBA history. Now, I know a couple of guys off the top of my head. Robert Parrish played 22 years. Mm-hmm. Kareem played 20 years. Kobe played 20 years. I know Karl Malone played 19 years. I know a lot of guys
Here's
that played.
All that matters. LeBron James has now played 258 more games than Michael Jeffrey Jordan. 258 more. He's played 10,282 more minutes than Michael Jordan.
Well, we took better care of ourselves.
10,000 more minutes?
Well, guess what we didn't do? We didn't spend all our time on the golf course. We weren't in the casino, and we weren't drinking that brown liquor. We celebrate. We take care of ourselves.
Smoking cigars.
Don't worry about what we smoking. Yeah. We had a nice stick last night. Sitting on our deck, listening to our beats. Yeah, had our little beat pill box.
Were you there?
No. See, there you go. All that's unnecessary.
Did he give you another miniature LeBron?
He didn't give me that. I ordered it.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is, Skip, at some time, you're going to have an appreciation for what you're watching because you probably won't see it again. Mm. You probably won't see this combination, mailman size, Magic Johnson's ability to play make, and he can score. Mm. He can score 27 points a game, says he can score.
And he's 3-6 in the finals. Who'd have thunk it?
Hey,
I don't know.
Man, I ain't no telling what he'd had. If he'd had a prime Shaq or he'd had KD, ain't no telling what he'd been. He might have been 12-0 in the finals.
Ain't no telling how many points he could score this year if he got to play Portland every round of the playoffs.
Maybe he'll figure that out.
Maybe they'll pass legislation. You get to play your first-round opponent all three rounds of the West. Then you're good.
Skip, I mean, let this sink in for a second. How many points did you say Donovan Mitchell averaged in this series? Like 36?
Wasn't it 39?
No, he was at before last night. I think he ended up averaging 34 points a game, 35 points a game.
39 a game in the first six.
First six.
Yeah.
And he had 20, so he felt probably averaging 36.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know LeBron James averaged 34, 9, and 9 for an entirety of a playoff?
Yeah.
Not just in one series, not in one round. For the entirety of the playoffs,
really?
He was 34-9-9.
Really? Did you know Michael Jordan won 10 scoring titles to LeBron's one?
That ain't what we do, Skip.
Oh.
What we do,
you
we
just
do.
Said that's what you do.
No, we can. No, no.
What are you talking
about? I said we can.
Oh.
We can score with the best of them. Oh. Hence, that's why we got more points.
Really?
Yeah, we got more points than him. We got more points than him.
Did you know Michael Jordan went 6-0 in the finals with 6 MVPs?
I know before he got an All-Star, he got bounced in the first round 3 times, something we don't even know nothing about. As a matter of fact, David Stern just passed the rule. LeBron James getting to skip the first round because it's automatic. He going to the second round anyway.
Nope. That's not how it works.
That's not how it works. That's what he used to do at Wimbledon.
I just want to wait until Friday to see him again. It feels like he's been...
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
An offer way too long.
No mercy.
The Saints kick off the season right here on Fox against Tom Brady and the Bucs, but there are conflicting reports coming out of New Orleans about Alvin Kamara. Initial reports said that Kamara was holding out over contract issues this week. Shortly after that, an additional report said the Saints were seeking to trade the running back. And to add to the unknown, the latest one said that Kamara's absence was not over a contract dispute, but that he had to receive an epidural in his back, which kept him sidelined for a few days. Shannon, this is all over the place. How will it end?
Well, I think the thing is, Alvin Kamara wants a contract, Skip. You look at his numbers, it says he's justified in seeking a new contract. He's still on his rookie contract. He saw Christian McCaffrey get $16 million. He sees Zeke Elliott making $15 million. He just saw Derrick Henry get about $10 to $12 million a year. And he's like,
Joe Mixon.
Right. And so he's like, hold on, wait a minute. I've gone to 3 straight Pro Bowls.
Yep.
I got 2,000 yards rushing, 2,000 yards receiving. I can do a little bit of everything. And y'all want me to play on this. All this is the Saints leaked all this information trying to get him to sign the contract that they have on the table for him. Because, Skip, they got almost $250 million already committed in 2021. And so the last thing, but Alvin Kamara's looking and said, hold on, wait a minute. Y'all mean to tell me y'all paying Taysom Hill $16 million a year for 6 plays a game? And y'all got me out here 30 plays a game and y'all think I'm about to make $2.1 million? I wish I might. Y'all better come on and break bread and talk to me. Seriously. Mm. Yeah, nobody had to know about this. His agent didn't tell the media about this. He didn't tell the media about this. This is the Saints leaked this information, trying to make Kamara look bad, trying to box him in and say, this is the contract we're offering. Take it or leave it, or we'll trade you. Knowing, Skip, ain't nobody giving up number one pick for a running back. You know that, Skip. The value of the running back has been decreased because, for the most part, you're sharing the load.
Yep.
You get a guy like Christian McCaffrey that plays the lion's share of the game, or you get Saquon. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the backs are sharing the load. And they're not giving backs. So he's like, this is my last chance to get a big deal, Skip. Because they're not like running backs. They're not like quarterbacks and receivers, Skip. You get a contract and then another contract. This is it. After this contract, running backs play for minimum wage. And what I mean by that, Skip, is minimum salary. Mm-hmm. They're not getting no more $7, $8 million a year in year 9, year 10. Yep. That ain't happening. So Kamara says, look, my value is high right now. Let me get this money. Y'all need to come on, Saints. Now y'all paying everybody else. Come see your boy.
Mm. I like him a lot.
I do,
we
too.
We had him on the show.
He from the crib.
I got you. ATL.
Yep.
I judge people, as you know, good heart, bad heart. Mm-hmm. He's got a big good heart.
He does.
And he's obviously a supremely talented young man because he can catch it and run with it as well as he can just run with it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, sometimes I think he's a better receiver than just a pure running back. So I'm bullish for him to get his money. But there was one detail that Jenny read that I got to harp on.
Mm-hmm.
Epidural steroid injection last Thursday. You've had them.
Mm-hmm.
I've had too many of them. I had one not too long ago. They're no fun, number one, and they're bad signs, number two, because they're usually just a Band-Aid on a troubling condition mm-hmm. in your back that will probably not subside. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess he's got a back issue that is troubling him as we speak, because he missed practice maybe to hold out, quote unquote, yeah. but probably because he had a legitimate reason not to practice, because his back is balking.
Or, Skip, he might say, well, you know what? Hey, let me go to get this Epidural. I don't really need it, but I take it just in case it puts some pressure on y'all.
I don't know anybody in the world who would take an epidural steroid injection for nothing.
Oh, I'd take it for $14 million?
Would you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to think hard about that.
I ain't thinking. But I already thought about it. Put the money in the account.
Sometimes they accidentally hit the wrong nerve. Oh, I can speak to this.
Yes.
And you are miserable for a couple of
years. You ain't got to explain it to me, yep. but you know what? It's amazing how $14 million is the Band-Aid okay. for misery.
Last year, I believe his back troubled him through the year because all the numbers fell off, and I'm sure it's troubling to the Saints because yards per carry, yards per catch, everything went down, down, down. He lasted 14 games out of 16. Not bad. But I think he was hobbled. I think he was slowed by whatever this condition is. Is it going to be chronic? Is it going to plague him, as we've seen it plague other players through their careers?
Well, Skip, for me, I look at it like I think it had a lot to do with Drew Brees, because they changed the way they played the game when Teddy Bridgewater came yep. in there. Now, although they won all the games that Teddy played, it's different. Teams did not fear Teddy Bridgewater yep. like they do Drew Brees.
That's fair.
And so I yep. think with Drew Brees, it opens up more. I think if Drew Brees can stay healthy, I think we'll see the old Alvin Kamara, the rookie of the year, Alvin Kamara in the year out. I think we'll see that guy come back.
So speaking of talented teams, a lot of evaluators think that team is the most talented top to bottom on paper team in the
NFL. I know they win in the NFC South. I know who's not winning that division. Don't we, Skip?
We do not.
Yes, we do.
This is actually good news for that team in Tampa Bay right now.
Y'all got a lot of fish to fry.
Yep.
You need to worry about the Falcons too.
We don't eat fried food. Tampa Bay.
You need to worry about the Falcons.
Right.
And you need to worry about Drew Brees on a mission. He said this might be my last year. I need to go out like Strahan. I need to go out like Jerome Bettis, John Elway. Go out Peyton Manning.
Which is why Drew Brees right now is telling Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton, just go get this done somehow.
Yeah.
Because he's probably got one more big year. I don't know, maybe a couple, but probably this could be it, depending on the outcome.
Yep.
Right? So I got to believe Drew Brees is saying, you just got to go figure this out. And they're saying, but Drew, what if you're not here next year and we're stuck with a big contract and a guy with a bad back?
Well, he's going to be the A. What's the Super Bowl worth?
I agree.
Seattle played, look at all the money Seattle paid Percy Harvin mm-hmm. for basically one game, that Super Bowl, because mm-hmm. he broke it open.
Yep.
So what's it worth?
Yep.
Jerry told us, you have no idea the size of the check that I'd be willing to write, Skip, if you told me I was going to win the Super Bowl.
Are you guaranteeing that New Orleans is going to win the Super Bowl?
I'm guaranteed they're going to beat you.
Really?
Yes.
South?
Yep.
Do we have cases already on
that?
We have five?
We got five on it.
You want to make it eight?
Whatever.
Okay. Eight. Thank you.
I don't know what you've been drinking at Tom Brady shipped you from I guess he's close to St. Augustine, the fountain yep. of youth. So I guess he's bottling something down there and he shipped it to you. Because you seem real gung-ho lately. Mm. You even more adamant. Mm. Oh, he going to do it. Mm.
Tom's shipping me this stuff called Ponce de Leon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Know what it is.
But all I know, we're going to talk about this, his old teammates, they ain't even talking about him no more.
Good.
That got to hurt, Skip. That yeah. hurt. Yeah. That really hurt.
Hurts?
Yeah, that hurt.
How does it hurt?
I mean, at least the old girlfriend, you got to say good things about me. Don't say I ain't talking about him no more. Jenny,
that normally isn't the case. They normally don't say good things.
They just say good things. We had different of opinions. We wanted different things in life. But he's a good guy. No. Don't say I ain't talking about him.
It's funny how the Patriots all get asked about Tom Brady.
It is interesting.
Nobody in Tampa is talking about the Patriots.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They don't need to worry, right? Who needs to worry? Okay, we're gonna get there, guys.
No mercy.
Hey,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell were quiet last night compared to the offensive outburst we'd seen earlier this series. Murray finished with 17 points on 7 for 21 shooting from the floor, but escaped with the win. Mitchell had a team-high 22 points, but also had a late, costly turnover. So, Shannon, what letter grade do you give Murray and Mitchell for last night?
Skip, I'm going to start with Mitchell first. I don't know how he gets a passing grade. 2 points in the fourth quarter. Two turnovers in the fourth quarter. He was stripped late. He had 9 turnovers and 1 assist, and they lost the game. So I don't know how do I get a passing grade out of that?
So you're going F.
Yeah, I got to give him an F. Okay. I don't have no choice, Skip. I mean, because he had been so sensational. And it's not like, you know, when you take tests, Skip, you don't get like, well, you get A. Well, he's been getting a lot of A's, so I automatically just going to give him an A on the next test. No, I'm going to grade you accordingly. And last night was not his finest moment. He did not play well, and maybe it was fatigue. I understand it was game 7, but this is when you can really create a legend for yourself.
Yep.
As the moments like this here. And this is why football players, Skip, the guys that perform in the playoffs, because every football game in the playoffs is a game 7. There is ain't no game 4, Skip. Okay, we lost, we come back to get them to game 5. Every game in the playoffs is a game 7.
Yep.
That's what makes it so heightened. For Jamal Murray, Skip, I'm going to give him a D. They won. That's the only thing passing I can give him. Because you look at a guy, Skip, he was averaging about 20 points in the fourth quarters. And he got 4 points on 2 of 7. He was 0-2 from the three-point line and 7 of 21 field goal, 1-for-6 from the three. And, Skip, I still believe it was a mistake in a situation like that. You pull that ball out and you make them foul you. And so I believe that was a mistake. It didn't end up costing them. But so I'm going to give him a D, and I'm going to give Donovan Mitchell an F.
Okay. I start by saying how much I love both these young men. And they put on a show of shows for 6 games. But the stage got too big for both of them in game 7. And I was highly disappointed and deflated about both their performances last night. I'm going to go D and D. I can't go fail because they both had their moments that would raise them above a flunk grade. So let's go Donovan first. And I told you to start the show. When you have 9 turnovers and 1 assist, you get D as in disqualified on that right there. But at least you had a flurry that helped get you back in the game. Mm-hmm. They were down 19 with a minute gone in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. And at least you had something to do with the rally. And you did make 9 of 22 shots, even though you're only 2 of 8 from 3.
Right.
But I'll give you that much. And you did have 1 basket with 2.5 minutes left when he drove it and sort of right-hand scooped it up and in. I'll give you that. So I'm going to give him a D. But I also reiterate what I said to open the show. There were too many possessions from the mid-fourth quarter to the end in which he stood over on the side with his hands on his knees because I think he was either gassed. I'm going to give him gassed. Maybe I'm giving him a pass. But you have to go get the ball from Mike Conley Jr. You kept forcing him to create a play that at age 32, after all the playoff miles he has on those legs and knees, he's not capable of making. So Mike Conley goes 1 of 7 in the fourth quarter because you kept making him shoot it when he didn't want to shoot it. You don't have Bogdanovich as your second scorer, and it was Mike Conley with Donovan just saying, no, go ahead, you do it. Me? Okay, I'll try. I'll try to do something here. Mike Conley goes 2 of 13 for the game, and obviously he shoots the 3 that lips in and lips out at the buzzer.
Right.
Okay, so Donovan didn't impress me through the fourth quarter with his will to win. Give me the damn ball and get out of my way.
Right.
Which brings me back to Jamal. And by the way, Donovan had averaged 39 a game for the first 6, and he scored 22 last night and went 2 of 8 from 3. Okay. Now, Jamal, he had averaged 34 a game. He was half that last night with 17 and went 1 of 6 from three. And I told you in 3 game 7s he's now played, he has 1 3-pointer to his name. Not good enough. So you said he'd scored 20 a game. I checked this just now. He had averaged in the fourth quarters and overtime of those first 6 games, 16 a game. Mm-hmm. Well, that's extraordinary.
Right.
16 points? Most people would take 16 for a game in the playoffs. And in those fourth quarters, 6 games and 1 overtime, I believe it was, he made 16 of 19 three-point shots.
Right.
That's preposterous.
Skip, and both guys, what? Donovan Mitchell made the most threes in a series in NBA history with 33. The second place was Jamal Murray with 32. They tied Steph Curry,
all right,
who made 32 in the 2016 finals against the Cavs.
Okay, so Jamal had made 16 of 19 threes in 6 fourth quarters plus 1 overtime.
Right.
Last night in overtime, he scored 4 points and went 0-2 from three.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not good enough.
Right.
The stage was too big. Throats are tightening. Pulses are pounding. It's game seven, and this is a new deal.
And even though, Skip, even though it's in the bubble, you're in prime time. That's a whole different ball
game. You are in prime time. It's 9 o'clock Eastern.
They put that.
It was earlier last night.
Yeah, 8:30. They put that in prime time because they woke because they saw what was going on. Like, we might get one of those.
By the way, it was on ABC.
Yes, Skip. So the reason why I look at Donovan, Skip, in the first half, he was 3 of 7 from the field. He was 1 of 3 from the three-point line. He was 5 turnovers, -9. So the predicament that they were in, he helped aid that.
He did. In fact, he had 1 basket to his name until a minute was left in the first half.
Yes. So, Skip, that's not good enough. You're the leader. You can't have that.
No.
And especially you see Conley struggling. You see Ingles struggling. You see O'Neal struggling. You have to say, you know what, guys? I got you. I'm gonna carry this thing as long as I can until you guys find a rhythm. You can't struggle along with them and like, well, nah, I just don't have it. You expected more, Skip, but the 9 turnovers with the 1 assist, and they lost, Skip. If they had won, you could possibly give him a C because at the end of the day, the objective is to win the game. But, Skip, you have 9 turnovers with 1 assist and you shoot 9 of 22 from the floor? I can't give you no passing grade with that one.
Okay. All right. And speaking of those turnovers, could we one more time see the 9th and last turnover?
Right.
And how Donovan reacted after the turnover? Because I had a big problem with this, if we could please see it. He tries to drive it right on Gary Harris, who jumps it and pushes him back to his left. Then he spins, and Gary Harris pokes the ball free. Jamal's got it. Where is Donovan Mitchell?
Laying on the ground.
He's pouting at the other end. He thinks the game is over. Kids don't do this at home because Donovan Mitchell, there standing. He had his arm. I think he was still saying, give me the ball. I'm open. You have to jump up and chase the play. If you had chased the play to the other end, maybe if you got to the top of the circle, when Rudy comes up with the missed layup rebound, maybe Rudy sees you first instead of Mike Conley, and you do have the ball, and you have 2.5 seconds to dribble it 3 times and shoot a long-distance jump shot to win it.
He should have just kicked this ball. Murray should have just passed this ball to Gary Harris and let time run out because they wouldn't have been able to get it.
I told you how I felt about that. If you were sure you got
Harris. It's Torrey Craig who missed the layup. But I'm saying Harris was on the flank, so just pass it to him.
I got that, but I told you how I feel about that. If you have a 2-on-1 and you are dead solid sure that he is going to dagger dunk it,
right,
because that's going to put you up 4, then go for it.
Go for it.
But you better be sure that you got it because you don't got it because it's game 7 and Torrey Craig leaves it a little short trying to lay it in off the glass.
I wouldn't want to chance that, but as you mentioned, with what we had seen from these guys in the previous, now Jamal Murray hadn't been as consistent as Donovan because there were a couple of games in there, Skip. I think games 2 and 3, he was in the teens as far as scoring. Mm-hmm. But games 4, 5, and 6, he was off the chart. Donovan has been a little bit more consistent. Well, he scored 20 points in all the at least 20.
Denver fell behind 3-1.
Exactly. And then he went bonkers. And for him to go bonkers and then only have 17, but he won. Mm. So, Skip, you got to get a letter grade just for winning.
Yep.
But Donovan didn't play well last night. He didn't play well.
The joke was on Donovan because Joker was on the other team and he did play well.
And that was one of the reasons why I picked Utah, because I felt if Jamal Murray didn't play well, Joker could pick up the slack.
Yeah. You picked Denver, right?
Yeah, I picked Denver. Yeah, that's why I felt they could win.
Right, because
basically it was 2-on-1.
Yep.
It was 2-on-1.
It was. And now it's going to be like 8-on-1 or 8-on-2. I'll give you two because the Clippers are going to
come on, Joe,
with them in 5.
Okay.
Yep.
In 5.
Okay, what do you got? You got?
I got to see how things play out.
See how things play out. Okay.
We might sign Dikembe.
And those two, both 23 years old, guys. So we've got so much to look forward to. I liked the image of Murray consoling Mitchell after the game. Like, a lot of respect between the two after a hard-fought series.
No mercy.
Fox NFL Sunday is back September 13th with a great slate of early games. Then it's a blockbuster in America's Game of the Week as Brady and the New Look Bucks take on Breeze and the Saints. Check local listings for the games in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app. ESPN.com polled all of their NFL experts to rank each player based on how well they think they will perform in 2020. Dak Prescott came in 20th overall on the list and was the 6th QB. And down a dozen spots at 32 was Tom Brady, the 8th QB on the list. So, Shannon, do you agree Dak should be ranked higher than Tom Brady?
Yes, he should be, Skip. And it's sad that the article had to preface this by saying the upcoming season, because everybody wants to go back, mainly the guy that's sitting across from me. But he the GOAT. He's 6-for-9. Okay, that's fine. We understand that. But just because you're 6-for-9, it's not about who's had the best career. Who's going to have the best? Who do they believe is going to have the best season this year coming into the season? Mm. That's what this is about, Skip Bayless.
Yep.
This is not a lifetime achievement award. Mm. This is not the academies. This is not what this is.
Yep.
Well, you know how they give Quincy Jones a lifetime achievement award, or they give this great director a lifetime achievement award. This is not what this is. Based on this upcoming season, what quarterbacks or players do we believe will have the best season?
Mm.
That's it. Nothing else. Don't you try to take away. Don't you try to add. So, yes, I absolutely believe it. I believe Matt Ryan should have been in front of him also, Skip Bayless, because let me tell you something about this offense. Now, I don't know a whole lot about offense, but I know this one. This is the West Coast system. Mm. And here are some guys that have played well, I think. You might know it. You might have heard of a guy named Elway, Young, Montana, Favre, Rogers. I'm not saying Dak's in that category, but Jeff Garcia, look at what he did in this offense. Jake Plummer, look at what he did in this offense. Donovan McNabb, look at what he did in this offense. Also another guy, I forgot about my homeboy. He's also in the West Coast. So, Skip, this offense is very quarterback friendly, especially if you're athletic and you can move. Dak can move. I believe Dak is going to have one of his better seasons. Jerry's going to have to pay that man $40 million, and you're about to be sick. So to make a long story short, Dak Prescott should be ranked higher than Tom Brady based on what they believe going to happen in 2020.
Hmm. Interesting. So help me out with this. I'm just looking at Fox Bet odds to win the Super Bowl, and I don't know how, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Suckaneers, the team that went 7-9 last year, they're all the way up at 5th best odds at 14-1.
Are they better? Are they better?
They're ahead of Dak.
So who got the best MVP odds? Who got the best MVP odds?
I'm not finished.
Okay.
Who's the quarterback for the Bucs? You know what? Maybe I missed this. Maybe Blaine Gabbert is going to win that starting job, and they're saying, boy, we like
if they gave him a fair shake.
We like that washed up, broken down Tom Brady.
Hold on. Are you criticizing Blaine Gabbert?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the guy that your guy left a 10-point comeback for him in the fourth quarter and beat in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
But now you criticize him. You just been hyping Tom Brady for the last 4 years about the job he did coming back against Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
But who is the guy on the other side? Blaine, B-L-A-M-E, Blaine Gabbert.
I think you're mixing him up with the other guy.
No.
That's okay.
That's your guy.
Yeah, this is Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine.
Okay. I want everybody out there to understand that this man just tried to make a case that my guy, Dak Prescott, I love Dak Prescott.
I can't tell you.
Is ranked 12 slots above Tom Brady, the GOAT, 12 spots above him, 20th to 32nd. And this man across me, the Hall of Famer, Shannon Sharp, over the last 13 games last year, gave my man Dak Prescott F grades for his performance.
Grade hard.
Well, you grade so hard that, I don't know, Tom Brady must have flunked, what would that have been last year, 19th grade, because he flunked it.
He flunked against the Dolphins and the Titans. He flunked them.
Did he?
Flunked them.
So I want to remind everybody that Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr., in the final regular season game that he ever played in Foxborough, he had another long game-winning drive of 60 yards, cashed it, put his team up 4 points, not three, put his team up 4 points, and all of a sudden the two seed in the AFC is in the palms of Bill Belichick's hands. And he allowed an 80-yard drive to Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, in 13 plays to win the game at the buzzer, a 5-yard pass to Gesicki that cost them a week off. And I want everybody to understand that Tom Brady actually last year had his greatest year doing the most with the least, because by all accounts, the Patriot receiving core as a whole group were dead last in separation in the league last year. So he's got arguably the worst wide receiver slash tight end core in the whole league that he's trying to throw to, and poor Cam Newton's going to find that out quickly.
Oh, you, I don't know if you heard it, but you hear about all that praise little Coach Belichick been giving on Cam?
That's great. Go for it. So it's also hard for me to comprehend how my guy Dak Prescott, who was not even voted by the players in this league going into last football season in the top 100, has skyrocketed to 20th.
Yes.
Overnight.
No, it wasn't overnight.
What just happened?
Hold on. What did the players have him ranked? Mm. The players, he didn't make it the year before, but what did the players have him ranked this year? Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
Yep. So my theory on this is that suddenly Dak Prescott has been made into a sympathetic figure by Jerry Jones, because contract impasse. Pay the man. Pay him what? I kept asking. Pay him what? I don't know. Just pay the man. He wants like $42 million a
year.
He wants up in the Patrick Mahomes category, in the stratosphere that Mahomes got paid. He's not worth that. He hasn't proven to be that guy yet. And Jerry offered him a very fair deal of $36 million a year and 80-plus million guaranteed at signing.
We might have been willing to take that prior to the offseason. But unless you let Skip Bayless, I want you to stop doing this.
Wow.
Because what you're doing, again, is that you keep saying Tom Brady had a game-winning drive. Mm-hmm. They lost the game. That's like every time. You know what, Skip? I'll tell you what I do.
3 minutes to go, and it's up to what you call the greatest defensive mind in the history of football to coordinate a defense to stop the Dolphins from going 80 yards to score a touchdown.
Skip, every day, a couple times a week, I go in there and buy a lottery ticket. Mm. And I say, yes, this is the winning lottery ticket. I have yet to win. Mm. You can't say Tom Brady had a game-winning drive if they don't win the game. Mm. So Tom Brady did not have a game-winning drive against the Miami Dolphins. He lost.
Should it have been validated by the New England defense?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Hold on. First of all, Coach Belichick says, the last two times Tom Brady played in that stadium, in Gillette Stadium, do you know he gave the other team 6 points? Mm. He did that. He did that. It should have been three times.
So help me out. Was he throwing to Amari Cooper?
Oh,
no. Did he have even Michael Gallup? No. Did he have Randall Cobb? I didn't see a Randall Cobb out there.
But you know what?
Did he have a Blake Jarwin even? Didn't have Blake Jarwin.
I noticed you never said that. When Tom Brady was throwing to Gronk, you never said Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a Gronk. Mm. Drew Brees doesn't have a Gronk. These other quarterbacks
Tom Brady
don't have a Gronk.
Did not have a Gronk.
Oh, but he had it for 9 years. But you never said anything about that.
We're talking about last year.
Okay.
You say he's decayed.
Whoa.
Really?
Hold on. Tom Brady, Jesus, right? He's the only man that touched water in wine.
Hey, have you been reading the raves coming out of Tampa Bay camp?
What they supposed to say, Skip?
What are they supposed to say about Cam Newton?
All I know is Coach Belichick be praising
me. Okay.
Coach Belichick, when have you ever known Coach Belichick to praise anybody?
I guess Cam's going to make him forget about Tom Brady like that, right?
Do you realize that once Tom walked out that door, Coach Belichick forgot about him?
Yep.
As a matter of fact, Coach Belichick was trying to forget 2 years ago. You know that.
He forgot about him 3 years ago, actually. So in the end, this is also what I call CD syndrome, because the drafting of CeeDee Lamb was such an explosion, and I first guessed it. I called it.
Okay.
I told you he was the best wide receiver by far in the draft.
Right.
That all of a sudden, everybody's leaping to the conclusion, wait a second, they got kind of a new number one, like a co-number one with Amari, and then there's Gallup as number two.
Okay.
And all of a sudden...
So you should agree with me.
It's like Dak should be ranked higher because he's got better weapons.
But you should... So you
has anybody seen what Tom Brady has in Tampa?
Hold on.
You ever seen those weapons?
So you should agree with me. Huh. You said CeeDee Lamb is the game changer.
Yeah.
Okay, then. So what's the problem?
But that's not going to make Dak better than Tom Brady.
Yeah, he already is right now. Going into 2020.
Tom Brady's got the GOAT tied in with him.
You can't keep getting... Just because he's the most accomplished quarterback, he might be the GOAT quarterback. You don't get to be the best player at your position for perpetuity. Mm. You have to update that resume.
And okay. He did last year.
Hold on. Did he go to the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, very underrated.
Did he go to the Pro Bowl?
No.
Okay, then. Was he all pro? Mm. So what was he? So when did he update that resume?
Help me out. Did he have Ezekiel Elliott?
Did he
have the Cowboy offensive line last year? No.
Does he have him now? Does he got Zeke now? Does he have the Cowboys offensive line now? Does he have CeeDee Lamb?
Working with a cupboard that was bare last year.
So, okay, how about this here? You like Scotty Miller or you like CeeDee Lamb? I'm going to put you on the hot seat.
What are you talking about?
You like little Scotty Miller or you like CeeDee Lamb?
Do I like Mike Evans or CeeDee Lamb? I'll take Mike Evans right now.
That wasn't a question. I asked you.
What kind of question is that?
Because the slot receivers. Scotty Miller, you've been hyping Scotty Miller. A little Scotty Miller.
Did you see Brady Raven the other day?
Okay. So, by the way,
he's not just a slot receiver. He is so fast, they've been splitting him out wide, and he's been catching deep balls from Tom Brady. I told you, I warned you, I first guessed Scotty Miller. Here he comes. Good luck.
Skip, you need to stop with this.
Tom Brady is better than Dak Prescott.
No, he's not.
Right now. It just is.
No, he's not.
He's better than just about anybody.
No, he's not.
I'll give you Mahomes, barely.
Deep ball. Hold on. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't Dak rated higher than Tom Brady?
Rated higher how?
In a QBR. Mm. Completion percent. Come on now.
Look at the weapons difference. Wow.
Oh, so did he get less weapons?
Did Dak get less now?
Yeah.
No, he got more.
Okay, then.
But so did Tom.
And which one is 27 and which one is 43?
Doesn't matter.
It do matter.
It's called pliability.
It don't count. It's called old age.
Pliability.
It's called Ponce de Leon.
Age backwards for Tom Brady's case. The good news, guys, we are so close to having football again, and we can debate some real game action.
No mercy.